We were all set to start John this week, but this morning I really wanted to kind of share with you something that's been on my heart, and it's kind of a challenge that God's been challenging me with in the last several months, and I believe it's really a challenge for all of us as we enter this year ahead. As I've kind of reflected and been reflecting on just joy and how we're doing as a church family, it's so encouraging. It is so encouraging to see how many are growing in their faith in Jesus and seeking to follow Him better. We have some great groups going on, our ladies groups, our midweek stuff, our youth, our kids, and our men meeting every month and things like that. And it's exciting to see all of that. And while all that is great, I think that God has more for us. And to even go further beyond just saying, wow, we have some great things going on. But to keep moving forward as a church family and as the individuals, you see, following Jesus isn't just about personally growing in our relationship with Him. Do you know that? It's not about personally growing in our relationship with Him in the sense of getting more grounded in His Word or more confident or more knowledgeable. There is more to following Jesus than just getting closer to Him ourselves. You see, following Jesus includes helping others also follow Him. And that's kind of been what's been on my heart and what God's kind of placed on my heart for us as a church family in this year ahead. And maybe when you hear those words, helping others follow Him, you might immediately go to evangelism and sharing the good news. And while it includes that, I believe it includes something even more than that for us as followers of Jesus. And what I mean with that is this also means helping others who may already belong to Jesus, follow Him better and follow His call for them in their life. So how do we help others follow Jesus better in their life? There are many who have come to faith in Jesus but need help to follow Him better or to grow in Him. And we all need help like that, but there are ways that we can help others grow in their faith. So maybe you can relate to this morning, and maybe as we hear this, how do we do this? Or what does it look like to help others follow Jesus better? Well, this morning, I want to introduce you to one of the unsung heroes of the Bible. Many of you know I love unsung heroes, especially in the Bible. And what an unsung hero is it somebody that maybe we don't immediately look at as somebody significant in the Bible. Sometimes we even overlook them. Yet God uses them to do awesome things for Him in His Word. And it's interesting, I was meeting with a couple of pastors, and we're talking about maybe doing a men's retreat in the year ahead. And that may be the theme of our men's retreat, is unsung heroes of the Bible. These are heroes and people that you may not have immediately leaped to mind that do amazing things. People like Caleb and Josiah and Philip. And the guy we're going to talk about today. You see, if it weren't for this guy, one of the most heralded heroes of the Bible, a guy named Paul, who I'm sure you've all heard of, he might never have begun or had the impact he had in his own ministry without this guy. This guy's name is Barnabas. And maybe you've heard of Barnabas, but Barnabas is one of these unsung heroes of the Bible. When we first meet Barnabas just after Pentecost, remember, Pentecost is where the early church starts through the disciples, the first apostles, and it begins in Jerusalem. And many came to faith in Jesus through that. Thousands were coming to faith. And they weren't just coming to faith in Jesus and growing in their own faith, but they were growing together. So much so that people were selling things that they had, selling some of their possessions so they could give to people who had need. And this is when we first hear about this guy Barnabas in Acts chapter 4. Check this out. It says, "Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus. He sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, we learn a few things about Barnabas right here, just at the beginning. First of all, we see that Barnabas, he's a Jew, he's a Levite, and he lives in Cyprus, which is an island out in the Mediterranean Sea. So he wasn't originally from Jerusalem. He probably came to Jerusalem during this Feast of Pentecost. Remember, during the Feast of Pentecost, all these Jews came from all over the world, and that was one of the ways Christianity spread, because they all came, heard about Jesus, had their lives changed, and then went back to their homes, bringing Jesus with them. And Barnabas is probably one of these people whose life was changed by Jesus. And he's there, and he's in this beginning part of his faith and following Jesus and excited about all of this. And we also see a few things. We see him growing in his faith, that he's being obedient and he's being generous with what he's doing. And also that he's known. He has a reputation already from the apostles. His name is Joseph, but he's called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So he already has a reputation, and he's even sacrificially giving of himself. You see, Barnabas is following and growing in Jesus personally. Now, these first Christians, this early church, they had a lot of opposition. Even though it was exciting getting started, they have a lot of opposition, especially from the Jewish leaders, who sought to put down kind of this new movement called the Way. It was originally called the Way. And one of the reasons, again, they seemed threatened by its power, just as they did from Jesus. In fact, one of the leaders of the Jewish religious power brokers there was a guy named Saul, who's also known as Paul. And he began persecuting the early Christians and the early church severely, until one day, while he's on the road to Damascus to go and shut down some more Christians, he's confronted by God, and he comes to faith in Jesus, and his whole life has changed. And soon after this, the lives of Barnabas and Paul would intersect, and we discover how Barnabas is critically important in Paul himself following Jesus and all that he accomplishes for the gospel and bringing the good news to the world. So I want to kind of show what happens now after Paul comes to Christ, and how now this relationship with Paul and Barnabas, and how Barnabas is so key to helping Paul follow Jesus better. So it's about 3 years later now, and Paul, for the first time, comes to Jerusalem. So he comes back to Jerusalem, now a new person, right? And he comes, and he wants to go and see the disciples. And this is where the story picks up in Acts chapter 9. Here's what happened. And when he, or Paul, had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. So here's what happened. The disciples now see Paul coming, and they're like, uh-oh, we're about to get persecuted. He's going to come shut us down, right? They didn't believe Paul and his motives for coming. And they didn't believe that he was anything different than the man who had done so much damage to this young church. So they're wary of Paul, and they don't want to accept him. But check out what happens. But Barnabas, verse 27, took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So here's what happens. Barnabas then finds Paul, and obviously they had known each other. During this 3 years, they probably met each other, and some believe when Paul was in Arabia, that was probably when they met. So they kind of know each other, and Barnabas goes and finds Paul and brings him before the apostles and presents him. Basically, you know what he does? He brings him before them, and he vouches for him, right? He says, no, this is Paul. He is different. He did come to Christ, right? He's truly a believer. He's a new creation. He's a child of God, just like we all are, basically is what he's saying. And he speaks of his conversion and the changed life, and the disciples then accept Paul and include him as a leader in the early church. So think about this for a minute. Think of the clout Barnabas must have with these early disciples. He wasn't one of the 12 that walked with Jesus. He wasn't one of this inner circle. He was a guy who came to Christ, but yet he must have such clout that he could go before these apostles and tell them this. And I'm also imagining the courage then to stand before them, before these disciples, with a man who had the past like Paul had. And tell them, no, it's not what you think. This was no small action on the part of Barnabas. And you know, in this we learn that like Barnabas and how he vouches and speaks of who Paul is in Christ, we then can help others to follow Jesus best when we, first of all, value them. When we value others, we help them grow in their relationship with Jesus. When we, like Paul, vouch for Jesus in them. You see, we vouch not only to other people that maybe this person who came to Christ but doesn't necessarily know how to follow him well yet or aren't following him well, we can vouch for them to others and say, no, they did come to Christ. They are a new creation. And we not only vouch to others, but we vouch for them for their sake, reminding them who they are in Jesus, encouraging them who they are. You are a changed life. Imagine how Paul feels with Barnabas saying, yeah, this Paul, he is a changed life. And Paul's like, yeah, I am. This did happen. It wasn't a dream. You see, in the busyness and troubles that we kind of all face in our lives, they can sometimes cloud us to who we are in Jesus. You know, and also the great purpose that God gives to each of us as a new creation in him. Sometimes we can forget that, or we're not aware of it ourselves. And we can think, well, I don't know that I'm much. What Barnabas did not only blesses the apostles, but it encourages Paul of this. And we can do this as well. Well, how do we do this? How can we value others in a way that helps them grow in following Jesus, or helps them follow Jesus better? Well, imagine the encouragement that you can be to a young adult or a teenager here at church who may be struggling to find their identity, maybe struggling to say, who am I in this world? I need to figure all this out, and may not think that they're much. And you can share with them Ephesians 2:10, which says, "For we are his workmanship. We are God's works of art created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand." And we can let them know that they're uniquely made by God for a great purpose, just for them to accomplish. You see, that's the way we value. Or imagine men. How encouraging it can be to the guy who's feeling like he's spinning his wheels in life and just kind of on that treadmill, just doing things and not really thinking he's making much of a difference in his life and just kind of going through the motions in life. And we can share with them 1 Peter 2 that says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We can say, hey, buddy, you're part of something that's literally world-changing because you belong to Jesus, and you can do something important. Or imagine ladies encouraging that young mom who may feel swamped or feels isolated and alone and just totally overwhelmed, and we can encourage them with Ephesians 2:19. It says, "So you are no longer strangers and aliens, but your fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." In other words, sister, you are loved, and there are many here for you and with you. Imagine valuing someone for their relationship with Jesus and what difference that can make. You see, we help others follow Jesus better when we value them as belonging to Jesus, reminding them who they truly are. Now, the influence of Barnabas didn't end here. There's much more that Barnabas does that kind of makes him one of these unsung heroes of the Bible. And it didn't just end with Paul, end with the young church. A few years later, Barnabas is in Jerusalem. When the apostles, they hear that the church up in Antioch is under attack and they need some help. And in Acts 11, we find this. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad and he exhorted all them who remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. They sent him up there to encourage, to strengthen it, right? For Barnabas, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So he not only helped stabilize them, but he helped many people be added to it. Then it says, so Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul or Paul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So here's what's happening. Barnabas is sent to strengthen and nourish the church there in Antioch. And he's faithful, right? And many people were strengthened and they came to faith through that, right? And in helping others to grow, Barnabas also brings Paul, who's at his home in Tarsus, and he brings him in so Paul can also be strengthened with them for an entire year. You see, like Barnabas and how he helps Paul and others grow in Jesus, we help others to follow Jesus best when we not only value them, but we also nourish them. We help other people follow Jesus better when we nourish them. Now, this growth that helps Paul, is echoed later on in Paul's own ministry. He understands that somebody helped nourish me, and that's what I'm to be doing as well if I want to help people grow. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. You see, God grows, but Paul says, this is what I'm investing in. I'm investing in nourishing people and following Jesus better. We also best invest in others by helping them grow in their relationship with Jesus. And it means not only helping the others grow, not only in their knowledge of God's word, but also in the whole of what it means to belong to and follow Jesus. In fact, Paul models this throughout his ministry and kind of gives this ministry statement in his letter to the Colossian church, where he says this, Him we proclaim, Jesus we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ or complete in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works with me. For Barnabas and now Paul, following Jesus wasn't just about themselves, but in helping others also grow in Jesus. And so Barnabas commits himself to this, and then he commits himself to this and helps Paul with it so that then Paul can help others grow or help others grow in Jesus or follow him better. Now, what does this mean for us? Well, for us, this means that we should seek to help others grow in Jesus, to help nourish someone's faith and their knowledge of Jesus. And sometimes, you know, we can sit here and we could say, well, I don't need to come out to Wednesday night as a youth or as an adult to our Wednesday night class and things. And you say, I don't need to come out because I've been there. I've done that. I can do this. I'm already growing. You know, I've kind of got it. But following Jesus is more than that. It means we don't just come out for ourselves. We come out for others. To help others follow Jesus by continuing to grow in him. And we get to model that to others and encourage others to help grow in them by being there alongside them. To help foster them. This means we come out to help others learn side by side with them, right? Sharing what God has deposited in us and caring about what God is depositing in them. And we get to stand there, sit alongside them and encourage them through Bible studies and midweek groups and things like this that we can go to, that we can help others grow by continuing to grow ourselves and showing the value and the importance of it. Following and growing in Jesus includes helping others also follow and grow with him. Many need examples, and they need encouragers who nourish and are willing to model growth. So that's a challenge for us in helping others follow Jesus. Now, back to Barnabas. After that year that they were in Antioch together, Paul and Barnabas actually returned to Jerusalem with offerings for some of the needy in Jerusalem, but they were called back to Antioch by the leaders there and back to the church there a couple years later. And we're in Acts chapter 13. We see more of Barnabas here. It says, while they, the leaders of the church in Antioch, were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. This is talking about Paul's first missionary journey. You know, he went on several missionary journeys. And Barnabas and Paul embark on their first missionary journey. And you know where they go? They go to Barnabas' home turf. They go to Cyprus. And there they minister side by side, relying on and learning from each other. And you know, what we learn from that is like Barnabas and how he experiences ministry together with Paul, we can help others to follow Jesus best when we also serve with them. So we not only grow alongside others to help them learn to follow Jesus better, but we also serve alongside others so that they can learn to follow Jesus better. You see, Barnabas modeled following Jesus through serving him as they both went to Cyprus, an area that Barnabas knew well, an area that Barnabas was more comfortable with. In fact, early on in this missionary journey, where they were gone for a little over a year, Barnabas took the lead in the beginning. Barnabas was seen as the steady one, the powerful one, the one to listen to. But as their missionary journey continued, that slowly kind of changed, and Barnabas stepped back so Paul could then step forward and take more of the lead and become more of the voice. Through this, you know, Paul was able to watch Barnabas serve, and he was able to serve alongside Barnabas, and then eventually Paul would lead the way. And in serving, they helped each other grow. You know, and the writer of Wisdom in Proverbs chapter 27 says it like this: iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. That's what serving together does. It blesses us both, not only us leading the way, but also those that we're helping to follow Jesus better. It blesses them and us. And as Paul and Barnabas, they experienced great victories on this missionary journey, but also great opposition as they served and grew together. In fact, I want to show you one quick example in Acts 13. It says, and the word of the Lord was spreading through the whole region, but the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And they continued seeing people come to their relationship with Christ. So they learned how to deal with opposition and troubles that come along. And they were able to do it together and strengthen each other in it. Have you ever been in ministry and you kind of feel all alone and you don't know how to handle something? And isn't it great to have somebody that's kind of been there before to say, well, here's what I've done to handle that. And then you get to strengthen each other to get through that with your eyes on Jesus. Here's what's happening with Paul and Barnabas. And this brought them all so much joy in Jesus because they were serving together. You see, serving together blesses everyone involved. It blesses us as we serve. It blesses those that we serve with and also those that we serve. It's why we should seek to serve with those who are just learning to serve. Why we should come alongside them instead of just throwing them out there on their own. When we serve side by side with them, they get to learn from us about things like service and commitment and preparation and joy in the journey. But we can also learn much and be encouraged by those we serve with and bring along as we see them grow. I mean, imagine Barnabas's joy as he's watching Jesus through Paul, and Paul just kind of take that center stage and really grasp what God has for him, and how exciting that is. You know, here at Joy, we have many generations represented, and we should want to do things as different generations, so that those that might be more mature can bring those that might be less mature in Christ, that need to learn to grow a little bit more in Christ. And we bring them along and we serve together side by side. You see, it's not just those that are experienced saying, we're serving all we can and we're doing all this, and now we have some new people. All right, I'm done, and let me just throw them in. Instead, we're helping each other follow Jesus, right? And we serve alongside them so we can all gain the confidence together of what it means to follow. And this is why we shouldn't just seek to serve, but serve with others that we want to help follow Jesus better. And then finally, I want to take you to a point in Barnabas and Paul's partnership. It's actually a point in their partnership where many people look at as a real negative, but I want to show you it really isn't. In Acts 15, they came home from their missionary journey. It says, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Now, Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought it best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And what's happening here is there's this guy, John Mark. Mark is the cousin of Barnabas, and he's a young guy, and Barnabas brings him along on this first missionary journey. And what most people believe happens is that Mark can't hack it. And early on, he just says, I got to get out of here. Maybe he's homesick, or maybe it's just too overwhelming for him, but he leaves. And Paul's kind of still bothered by this. He feels like Mark really let them down and kind of hurt their ministry. So Paul's kind of bothered by this. So when Barnabas wants to bring Mark on their second journey, Paul refuses. He says, no, we're not bringing him. In fact, look at verse 39. There arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So both were so convinced they were right that they split, or they separate in their partnership. They have this kind of disagreement. And Barnabas returns to Cyprus with Mark, and Paul goes on with Silas and keeps doing his ministry. Now, there's something very important before we go any further. I want to kind of note here as kind of a side thing. When you have a disagreement or a falling out with another believer, that doesn't mean we withdraw from serving God. Oftentimes what happens is when we have interpersonal issues, we just step back and say, all right, I'm done. Notice what Barnabas and Paul do. They said, hey, I can't do this with you anymore. But they kept following Jesus. And they kept serving Jesus. Anyway, back to Barnabas. Now, after this moment, Barnabas isn't really mentioned much in Scripture. We don't really see much of what happens with Barnabas. And we may think, well, his influence in helping Paul is done. You know, helping Paul follow Jesus better, it's finished. But you know, it wasn't. While Mark wasn't ready at that time and wasn't mature enough for ministry at that time, it seems that his time with Barnabas was well spent, and Barnabas had helped him grow. In fact, Mark then becomes a huge blessing and a benefit for Paul later in his ministry. In fact, years later, Paul's in a Roman prison, but he's not all alone. In fact, he writes to the Colossian church. He says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. Mark is here with Paul, and he's going to be a messenger for Paul, one that Paul trusts so much to bring his message and his work to them. Isn't that cool? It gets better. Some 16 years after this initial split of Paul and Barnabas over Mark, Paul tells Timothy just before he dies, he tells him this in 2 Timothy, you know, Luke alone is with me, but get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me in ministry. Even though Barnabas didn't travel with Paul any longer, he was still able to help him follow Jesus and his call down the line by preparing Mark. You see, like Barnabas helping Paul in ministry, we help others follow Jesus best when we support them. Barnabas added support to Paul's ministry by, instead of saying, well, Mark's a throwaway, or well, let's just be angry, he said, well, let's develop Mark. Let's help Mark follow Jesus so he can be most useful, and especially that we can help support Paul in what he's doing in following Jesus. Now, what can the support look like for us? Well, there's many ways that we can support others in following Jesus. Maybe it's helping someone prepare their Sunday school lessons so they're a little less overwhelmed, so they can be more confident to help out in Sunday school. Or maybe it's watching a young mom's kids so they can get out to Bible study during the week. Or maybe coming out to a small group or a study with someone so they don't have to come alone and feel overwhelmed. Or even as a guy, it's going with another guy and helping him around his house on a Saturday so he's free to come to church on Sunday and not has to feel overwhelmed. You see, these are all ways we can support each other so we can better follow Jesus. Supporting each other in following Jesus, it helps free us. And it gives confidence, more confidence, for others to be able to step out in their faith or in following Jesus. So how can we best support each other? In fact, the writer of Hebrews puts it like this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Another way to saying this, to encourage each other or to support each other to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. All the more as more people need to hear of Jesus and the days are getting short, we need to be helping to support each other and support those that need help in following Jesus, and that we can help follow Jesus better to help support them so they can do that, so we all grow, so we all benefit from Jesus in us. See, following Jesus isn't just about developing our personal relationship with Jesus. Following Jesus includes helping others also follow him. So this is a challenge. This is a challenge God's been putting on my heart personally and for me. And it's one, I believe, not only put it on me to shape me, but also for us as a church family as we move together forward in following Jesus. And I believe it's timely for us at Joy. So as we enter 2024, be a Barnabas as we help others better follow Jesus. And we do this by valuing them, by nourishing each other, by serving with each other and supporting each other so we can all benefit and move forward together. Now, in the coming year, I'm going to be sharing, and Pastor Chuck and I will be sharing some practical ideas about what this may look like, some more practical ideas, maybe presenting some opportunities for this as the year progresses. So keep tuned to all of that. But as we enter this new year, may we take up this challenge to not only better follow Jesus ourselves, but also to help others better follow Jesus. So be encouraged with that this morning and challenged as well. Let's pray.